So, you know, if I'm standing here instead of Father Farrell, something's up, which you'll find out in a few moments. But first of all, as I was thinking about these readings, for some reason a brain cell regenerated in my mind, and I remembered back in the, like around 1988, that there was a song saying, "Don't worry, be happy." Some of you might remember it. It even won a Grammy for the year. Yet, as I was thinking of these readings, it doesn't make much sense for us. It should be the reverse. It should be happy, don't worry. We continue on in our Sermon on the Mount study, so think back. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who hunger and thirst for holiness, who are single-hearted," and so on. And another way to translate the blessed is happy. So happy are those who do these things. And with that, we will become the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And then, if we follow all those precepts that we've gone through for the past 2 weeks in their fullest intent, with that purity of heart and intention, we truly will have happiness. More importantly, though, we will have the happiness because we know how much God loves us. This is made in our scripture passages today. In the Old Testament, we hear of how God the Father speaks through Isaiah and says, "Even if a mother could abandon her infant child, which is like the most sacred bond there is, I will never abandon you." And Jesus says, "If the Heavenly Father takes care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, don't you think he's going to take care of you? So don't worry." So my brothers and sisters, we should be mindful that God loves us so much that if we really are living in union with God, we should not have to worry. Yes, we need to be prudent, but nevertheless, live a love knowing God will take care of us always. When worry comes in, it's usually because of something of mammon. That was a Jewish term for anything that really could become a false idol or anything that would disrupt our relationship with the Lord. So think, oftentimes if we let things like the money, the position, the social life, whatever it is, become so focused, that's when worry sets in. In my own life, I have to admit that coming from a long line of worriers, that I've worried. As a young man, I'd worry about grades, oftentimes too much so. And even building this church, at times worrying about the weather, the contractors, the money, and all that. And yet, God provides. I've always believed God takes care of me. So let us always remember that as we say the beautiful prayer, the Our Father, each day, and we come to that line, "Give us this day our daily bread," we can rest assured that God will give us what we need today. Today. Because after all we have is today. Mother Teresa, who lived a very joyful life, said, "Don't worry about the past. It's over. Don't worry about the future. It hasn't come yet, and you have no control. Live today in the love of God." Now, you might think that's a nice little homily, like a fast Father Farrell homily, but I am not quite done yet. So, being happy, so we do have some happy news to share with you. So, thinking about providing the daily bread. Remember back in September, we raised money for the Christian Egyptian family who were refugees who came to this country. So a mom, her two kids, we've been providing their rental assistance for this time. I talked to her this week and she told me that not only was she so grateful for us because we really rescued them in a time of need, but she now has a job. So with the help of State Senator Dick Black, as well as our representative Barbara Comstock, all the legal paperwork was done so that she could work, and now she has a job with Voice of America, which is part of the State Department. So she's very excited that now she can support herself and her two children. Then remember Father Mizel Roa Cardenas, the priest in Colombia that had the cancerous tumor behind his eye that not only would have cost him his sight, but also probably his life in the long run. He wrote recently and he said how happy he was for our support. We really rescued his life. He is now in full recovery. He's still getting regular treatments or checkups, but nevertheless, he looks forward to a bright future. And then lastly, a couple of weeks ago, we had the special collection for the Tepeyac Center. So our parish raised a little over $11,000. Combine that with the local Knights of Columbus councils, so we will be presenting a check of $25,000 to them for the renovation, well, the establishment of their new facility. Bishop Burbage will be blessing and dedicating that facility on March 25th. So really, here's this organization that really lives hand to mouth, and we have been able to help them in a very serious time of need. With that all said, Lent is coming. So this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We have our Magnificat Lenten companions for you all. You may take one per family right now. If there's leftovers this Ash Wednesday, you can take as many as you want. But right now, just one per family. This is a good little read for each day, a nice meditation. So please take one. Please use it. And then last little announcement here is the PTO, our parent-teacher organization, is having their casino auction night on March the 25th, Saturday, over here at Algonquin Park. They are selling tickets. It's a casino night. It's going to be a lot of fun, less formal, and so it should be a good time for the whole parish. Also, it's a great way to help our grade school. Now, with that is the main event. As you know, Ash Wednesday begins Lent, and so this Sunday we have the Bishop's Lenten Appeal, by which all pastors have to do their job of fleecing the flock. Now, normally, in the past, we would have a taped recording from Bishop Laverty. So we would all pause, and all of a sudden the violins would play, and then we would hear, "Good morning. This is Bishop Laverde," and so on. But Bishop Burbage decided not to do that. Instead, he told us, read a letter. So here we go. "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a joy it is for me to be your new bishop. I have thoroughly enjoyed my first months as the shepherd of this great diocese and the opportunity to meet many of you at the masses and events these past weeks. I am humbled by the warm and friendly welcome I have received and look forward to our collaboration in the gospel mission of Jesus in our diocese. I am excited to lead the Bishop's Lenten Appeal this year, and I know your pastors will now be asking your support for this very important appeal. Please be assured of my gratitude for the past gifts you have given to the BLA and for your faithful consideration of a pledge this year, as it allows our church to serve so many people across the diocese. May our Lord Jesus bless you and watch over you always. Sincerely in Christ, Michael Burbage, Bishop of Arlington." So with that is, I've always said, I never ask you to do anything that I don't do. I do give to the Bishop's Lenten Appeal each year. If you wonder where the money goes, in the bulletin there's an insert. Now, many of you have received this in the mail already. But if there is one good reason to give, it is for the education of our seminarians. We're very blessed. We have 45 men studying to be priests in our diocese. That's a great gift. But with that gift comes the responsibility of education. Many of you have had children, or presently are having children, go through higher education. You know the cost, especially if it's a private school. So it's about $30,000 to $40,000 a year to educate each seminarian. These men are giving their lives not only to God, but to you, and to your children, your grandchildren. So it would not be fair to burden them with this huge expense of a tuition, especially on the salary we get. So with that in mind, if there's a good reason to give to this Bishop's Lenten Appeal, it's to educate our future priests. Now, with that, the bishop has us read the official in-pew process thingamajig. So, as your pastor, I want to thank all of you who have already pledged this year to the Bishop's Lenten Appeal, as well as those who have given in past years. Many of these ministries and services help our parish as well. Every donation, no matter the amount, is important. So basically, it's time to make some dough for the bishop.
It's time to make dough.
Not that kind of dough.
Ooh, what kind of dough?
Money.
Ooh, well, I will help anyway. Ooh, hello, William Fallon. How are you?
At this time, we will be asking... Gosh. We will be passing out the BLA pledge cards. So at the end of the pew, if you would pass these down, and I ask every family to please take a pledge card. I ask you now to pause and reflect on how you can make a truly sacrificial pledge to this appeal, to the best of your ability. I realize that each of us has different circumstances, and the amount of our donation is unique to our financial situation. My goal is that we could achieve 100% participation from our parish to the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. Again, this year, we are blessed to have a special challenge gift of $400,000 that has been offered that will match increases over previous gifts that were made. If you are giving for the first time to the BLA, your entire gift will help achieve this mass or match.
So he's asking for some yeast to be put into the donations.
Yes, he is. Thank you. I will walk us through the pledge process so that everyone can complete the form together. By going through the card with you, it actually takes much less time and allows me to pace myself so we can finish in just a few minutes.
And I will help by reading the directions.
Thank you very much, Doughboy. So,
please pause and make sure that everyone has received a pledge envelope and pencil. Pay special attention to people who are standing, crouching down in the pews, hiding under the pews, in the narthex, or in the choir loft, because they're very sneaky up there. Go ahead.
Thank you. All right, so please complete the section with your name, spouse's name, if applicable, address, and phone number. If you have already contributed to the Bishop's Lenten Appeal by mail or online, please check that box in the center of the pledge envelope. Please do not fill out any additional pledge information on the right side of this form.
Pause and wait until about half of those participating are looking back at you. I see you, William Fallon. You're right there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. If you all have not already pledged by mail, you may make a one-time gift or a pledge that can be paid through the year.
That's like punching the dough to make it rise again, isn't it? Yes.
Okay. A gift that can be paid throughout the year is a special pledge. When you make a pledge, you will receive monthly reminder statements until your pledge is paid in full.
Ooh, you can count on that, too.
Please refer to the right side of the pledge envelope and check the box, or write in the amount of your pledge or gift in the space provided.
And put some yeast into it, folks. Put some yeast into it.
Now, please write the amount of your pledge in the total pledged amount line.
Pause as above.
If you make a pledge today, you do not have to provide a payment today unless you wish to do so. If you wish to include a payment now, please write the amount of the payment on the amount enclosed line. Then subtract this amount from the total pledge amount and write the balance on the last line. Please check the appropriate box on the left if your payment enclosed is a check or a cash payment. If you want to pay your pledge by credit card or debit card, you may go to the diocesan website, or you may provide this information on the monthly reminder statements that you will receive once you make your pledge.
Or you can can just give your credit card to your trustworthy pastor so that he can use it as he wishes.
Very good. All right, so if you are not enclosing a payment now, please put a zero in the amount.
Ooh, no, a zero.
Enclosed line and write in the balance to be paid on the amount line.
Oh, this is very complicated, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Pause 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, whoop.
Okay. Please write the name of our parish in the line provided on the bottom left side so that we will receive the proper credit for your donation.
So if you are sitting in our pew, we get credit for you.
So
pause 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3, go.
Thank you. All right. Finally, on the front panel of the envelope, please write your name in the space provided. You may seal your envelope and place the pencil in the basket during the regular offertory collection. On behalf of Bishop Burbage and myself,
and me, the Pillsbury Doughboy,
I thank you for your pledge to the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. May God bless you.
You better give, or someone's going to get his buns burned by the bishop. Oh. Bye, Father Farrell. Bye, Deacon Cole.